It has been a year of social changes in America in 2013 in domains of life that once seemed rooted in some common and inflexible notions of culture and morality. But in the case of marijuana laws and the recognition of gay marriage, where we began this hour, a state-by-state movement is transforming this country at a pace far beyond what could have been predicted even 5 years ago, and in a manner that seems irreversible. The end of the Defense of Marriage Act has been a landmark for so many of you. From Austin, Texas, I got married in Minneapolis to my partner. We've been living together for the past 11 years. I'm from Brazil, and we could not have the same immigration legal rights as heterosexual married couples have until DOMA got overturned. Maybe by next year I'll have a provisional green card, then I'll be able to visit my family, travel, study, and work. All these things have been barred from me during the past decade or so. Today, 18 states and the District of Columbia allow gay marriage. A court case in Utah is the latest battleground. That's compared with 9 states at the beginning of the year. And by a population breakdown, that means that nearly 40% of the country lives in a state where same-sex marriage is legal. Dale Carpenter is the author of Flagrant Conduct, the story of Lawrence v. Texas, how a bedroom arrest decriminalized gay Americans. He's professor at the University of Minnesota Law School. Welcome.
Thank you very much. Glad to be with you.
So in both gay rights and in drug laws concerning marijuana, we're seeing the power of this state-by-state movement having greater social influence, it seems, than even the federal government and the U.S. Supreme Court. What's going on here? Assess the power of this state-by-state movement.
Well, essentially what you're seeing is the American system of federalism at work, where states try out different kinds of policies. We had states for a number of years try things like civil unions and domestic partnerships. Then a few states tentatively tried marriages. And that allows the rest of the country to see what the effects of those experiments are. And I think most Americans are coming to the conclusion that recognizing same-sex marriage really doesn't harm anyone. And in fact, it does a whole lot of people a lot of good, including children that gay couples are raising. And as that, as those lessons are learned, more states are accepting the idea that they too should recognize these marriages.
And, you know, unlike the U.S. Supreme Court, which often is grounded in an intellectual argument that is detached from local political concerns, in each one of these states, there are electorates and elected officials involved. There are local issues at work here. It's a very tangible issue at the state level, unlike is often the case at the Supreme Court level.
Oh, well, that's absolutely right. In where I live and work in Minnesota, for example, we had a year and a half long campaign to defeat an amendment that would have banned same-sex marriage as a part of the state constitution. And to defeat that amendment, which we ultimately did, required us to engage at a very direct and personal level with other people in the state and convince them that same-sex marriage was not a threat, that there was no reason to ban it. And it meant confronting questions about what happens to teaching in schools. Does this change anything that churches are required to do? All of those arguments have to be engaged directly. And in the end, we were successful where other states had not been. But I think that's a trend now.
Do you think the implications of the state-by-state approach, and I particularly note Utah, which is a traditionally very conservative state in the so-called family values debate that seems like an anachronism today, do you think this is an irreversible change, or is it a pendulum swinging and it could swing back?
Well, I hate to say that any change is irreversible. If you had done a snapshot 40 or so years ago, you probably would have concluded that by 2013, we would have fully legal drugs in the country, and we'd have communal living and all kinds of changes that we don't have. So you can't necessarily just project out into the future from what's happening now. But there does seem to be an unmistakable trend line in favor of the recognition of same-sex marriages. And I expect that to continue because, unlike with other social experiments, we simply are not seeing any of the predicted harms from the changes allowing same-sex marriage.
You know, your book that I referred to a moment ago, Flagrant Conduct, the story of Lawrence v. Texas, how a bedroom arrest decriminalized gay Americans. You know, that relates to a 2003 case, if I'm not mistaken. And correct. It doesn't have much to do specifically with gay marriage. But it's interesting that in some of the recent cases, the logic that Justice Scalia used in the Lawrence case has been pulled forward to become really the logic statewide and nationwide for putting gays and their partners under the protection of the Equal Protection Clause of the U.S. Constitution.
Well, that's right. I would say in Lawrence versus Texas, Justice Scalia, who wanted to uphold sodomy laws and allow them to continue to be enforced, argued that, look, if there's no legitimate basis for the state to criminalize same-sex relations, then on what ground do we prevent these people from formalizing their relationships in the law, having them recognized? He said, once you take a moral position against homosexuality out of the equation, there's really not a basis for denying these couples the right to marry. The fact that they can't have children as a couple shouldn't be a barrier, because lots of married people can't or don't have children. So that's not a barrier. And in fact, in the Windsor decision this past summer, Justice Scalia specifically said that the court's decision does point in the direction of same-sex marriage in all 50 states in the not-too-distant future. And his words were used in the Utah case that just came down.
You know, what we've been discussing here is an interesting fusion between the sort of moral transformations suggested and predicted by liberal Americans, but also the states' rights mechanisms often defended by conservatives in politics. Do you think that states retain, and the Supreme Court believes that states retain the right to make sort of moral judgments about same-sex marriage in the future based on their own sort of social mores within the state, as is the case in the abortion debate now?
Well, that is the large remaining question. Well, the Supreme Court struck down the federal law, but that still allowed the states to go their own way on this issue. The Utah judgment invokes federal constitutional principles, which, if applied nationwide, would mean that states would not be able to make this choice. And the court said in its own opinion in Windsor that it was important that states be able to make the decision about same-sex marriage. So I think the court could go either way in the future on this issue. It could invoke states' rights and say, look, this ought to continue to be fought out state by state. Or it could say that the love and commitment of two people of the same sex is due the equal protection of the law, full stop, and issue a ruling that's much broader and applies to the entire country. I don't think anybody has the answer to how that question is going to come out in the near term.
So size up 2013 before we go. Landmark year, milestone year, transitional year?
You can use all of those phrases to describe it. It was a sea change at three levels: in American politics, in American law, and in American public opinion on the issue of same-sex marriage.
Dale Carpenter is the author of Flagrant Conduct, the story of Lawrence v. Texas, how a bedroom arrest decriminalized gay Americans. He's a professor at the University of Minnesota Law School. Dale Carpenter, thanks so much and Happy New Year.
My pleasure. Same to you.